May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at those words from the Acts of the Apostles, which tell us that there was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, or as some translations say, a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where the disciples were meeting. Some while ago, I was in London for a meeting. It was the first time I'd had to get myself across London alone. So there was a bit of fear and trepidation on my part. The journey there and back entailed 4 trips on the underground. So I gained quite a bit of experience of rushing mighty wind. Underground stations are windy places. Standing on the platform, waiting hopefully with other travellers, there suddenly comes a mighty whooshing noise. And out of the darkness comes the train. Its sheer size fills the empty space, and you can feel the power it holds. And we travellers are completely at its mercy. Travellers don't control the doors. If we want to get on, we need to do it quickly. There's no time for dithering. And once you're on, that's it. There's no going back. But, you know, I find it quite comforting to hear the sound of that rushing, mighty wind as the train entered the station. The powerful sound took away my fear, as I realised that all I had to do was get on, and the power would now be in someone else's hand. I didn't have to worry about reaching my destination. Someone else was directing the route. I wonder how the sound of wind affects you. A good, strong wind can be a blessing when you've got a line full of washing to get dry. Yachtsmen need wind to power their sails. Kites fly high when there's a good strong wind. And a gentle breeze on a very hot day can be a blessing. But whether the wind is gentle or strong, it still holds a sense of power and strength. And it always brings something with it. There's always some kind of change and movement. When the wind blows, things happen. Nothing stays still. I wonder what it must have been like for those disciples. They'd had a whole string of different experiences during Jesus' ministry, but nothing quite like this. And this time, Jesus wasn't with them to either teach them or to comfort them. They'd come simply to celebrate Pentecost, which was also known as the Feast of Weeks, a festival of thanksgiving for the harvest crops that came 50 days after Passover. And Jews from many nations gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. So when Peter later spoke to the crowd to try and explain what was happening and to assure them that it was not drunken behaviour that they were witnessing, but Holy Spirit-filled behaviour, it was to a truly international audience, and it resulted in a worldwide harvest of new believers, the very first converts to Christianity. What a spectacular occasion that must have been. And this was the fulfilment of John the Baptist's words about the Holy Spirit baptizing with fire, and the prophet Joel's words about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, God confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire, and he made his presence known to this group of believers in a spectacular way. Violent wind, fire, and his Holy Spirit. Would we want God to reveal himself to us in such a recognisable way? He may do so. But we should also be wary of trying to force our expectations on God. Remember Elijah? He needed a message from God. There was a great wind, then an earthquake, and finally a fire. But God's message came in a gentle whisper. God may sometimes use dramatic methods to work in our lives, or he may speak in gentle whispers. We must wait patiently and listen. We must stay alert to his prompting. It was no accident that a few years ago, Bishop Rachel decided on Pentecost to launch Festival. I expect some of you here today will remember that. It was a month of activities that took place across the whole diocese with the intention of improving communication and encouraging networking with other partners and agencies to see how we could work together to promote inclusion for all. And it was a real success. And as part of that event, I attended a networking day at the cathedral, where the keynote speaker was Dame Janet Trotter, the then Lord Lieutenant of Gloucester, the late Queen's representative in the county. She is a former principal of what is now the University of Gloucestershire and a chair or patron of many influential committees, and she's a committed Christian. And she began by saying that today she didn't represent any organisation and anything she said was her own personal belief. And she went on to give a wonderful talk on inclusivity about several places she came across in the county where people worked hard to promote inclusion and had taken risks along the way to fulfil them. And the more she spoke, the more I came to see that inclusion and receiving are intertwined. It's about receiving that gut feeling, that call from God, acting on it, and then allowing others to receive it by being inclusive. I sat there in the cathedral and listened to this woman who I had met several times and heard speak often before on various topics, all relating to her professional roles, but never purely as a Christian. And I received from her as the Holy Spirit gave her the power to speak with passion. And she made more impact on me that day than with any of the previous topics I'd heard her speak on. Jesus intended Christians to be inclusive. You know, we messed it up good and proper. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can put it right. So I want to leave you with something to ponder. The day that God sent his Holy Spirit, that day of Pentecost, he immediately created an inclusive community. No one was excluded from receiving it. Now, if we are also filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do it too. If we are going to be inclusive church, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us connect meaningfully with the community. And I'm not talking just about our church, I'm talking about church in general. Coming up with ideas and hoping people will like them will only lead to tiredness and despondency when they don't come up to people's expectations. But engaging and listening and finding out what people actually do want is what will fire us with enthusiasm, which in turn will pass to others. How many people might be out there with God-given skills and talents which we know nothing about and might well contribute to building an inclusive community embedded in Christianity? And if the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do that, he will provide the means to do it. Remember that on that day of Pentecost, there were tongues of living flame. Tongues symbolise speech. And the communication of the gospel. Fire symbolises God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts afire, aflame to ignite the hearts of others. And that's really important to remember, because often when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, the first thing we do is look for reasons not to. We start to think of who we don't like, who we don't want to work with, how difficult someone or something is. Inclusion can so easily become division if we take our eyes off the Holy Spirit. There's nothing the devil likes more than to divide God's people. So let us pray that the Holy Spirit, the wind of change, will blow hard on us and our community. Pray that we will hear the gentle voice speaking through it. Pray that we will have the courage to go with the wind. And just one last tip. The heart is where the passion lies. The gut is what tugs at us. And when those two things are acting together, you can be pretty sure that it's the Holy Spirit prompting. So don't be too quick to dismiss it, especially if whatever it is seems impossible. Amen.